Open your Bibles up to John chapter 16, verse 33. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this precious time that we get to spend with you, learning from you. We thank you for Holy Spirit who is here to teach us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word. Father, we ask you for fresh, new revelation of Jesus. We ask you that we will continue to learn more and more and more and have more understanding of him and what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, and this is Jesus talking now, and if you really want a good adventure, read John chapter 15, 16, and 17. And if you can, record what?
Why are you praying?
Huh?
Daryl just texted me.
Yeah.
A little boy we met Saturday. They had to rush him to El Paso. He's got blood in his stool and a real high fever, and they don't have any idea. So he needs prayer. I think he's 6. His name's Lyme.
Lyme, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Lyme. We come against this attack on his body. We command it to be removed, cast into the sea. Father, whatever has happened to this little boy, we ask you for a miracle to clean him. Our high priest Jesus to pronounce him clean and healed and whole in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you get a chance to record yourself while you're reading chapter 17, do it. This is a prayer. Chapter 17 is a prayer that Jesus prayed for the believers. How cool is that? The most powerful, the best word of faith preacher that ever walked on this earth praying for you. How cool is that? Anyway, let's look at John chapter 16, verse 33. And Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." These things I have spoken unto you. What things? What things is he talking about? Now, Jesus was telling us about troubled times. And then he said, "These things I have spoken unto you that you could have peace." So let's go backwards from here to see what we find. Did you know you can read the Bible backwards and get real good revelation of that? You can read the Bible backwards and you hear God's voice. You know, when I was a kid, they said if you play these tapes and records backwards, the teachers would tell us this. So if you play these tapes and records backwards, you'll hear the devil's voice. Okay. I don't know how to play one backwards. How did you do that? Well, anyway, let's just go up just a little ways to John chapter 16, verse 27. "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Remember, always remember what side of the cross you're on when you're reading the Bible. This happened before the cross. But let's go over here to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Okay. 1 John chapter 4 verse 16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." Now, the first thing we need to do when trouble hits is believe the love that God has for us. Believe the love that the Father has for you. Sometimes this is a little harder than you may think. Some people have grown up in church and they have been so religiously whipped till they start kind of seeing God as a harsh, mean God. Not a loving Father, but a harsh, mean God. Because they get told, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to fail miserably. If you don't do this right, what's happening? They're preaching the law. Some people call it preaching sin. I actually heard a lady one time, they got rid of their pastor, and they're going to get a new one. They said, "We want one that's going to preach sin to us." Lady, you need to hear the word of grace. If you try that once, you'll never go back to that nonsense. What they're really saying is they wanted somebody that was going to preach the law to them. And they would figure that maybe the ones they keep would make them look better than somebody else. You fail miserably when you try to keep the law. You know, even the law gets preached in the Word of Faith circles at some point. Unwittingly, they'll tell you something like, if you really love God, you're going to get out in the mission field. And you're going to preach the gospel. You really love God, you're going to do more service work in the church. You really love God, you're going to read your Bible more. And they're going to tell you, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. Jesus said that. So that we know that is the absolute truth. But it's the law. That drives preachers crazy when I tell them that. Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness. And when the Pharisees would come up to him and start quizzing him about the law, he had to return the law back to them. Now remember, the word of grace did not happen until after the cross. The full word of grace. And we see grace operating in the Bible where Jesus would, especially with Gentiles, he would treat them with grace. They didn't come to him with the law. But we need to believe the love that the Father has for us. One way to really get that love sunk into your heart is to spend as much time focusing on the sacrifice as you can. See what it costs God. See what it costs Jesus. See what that bloody sacrifice. Read about it. Study it. Think about it. And then think about, this is his only son. And he gave him up for us. That's love. But it's agape love. And this is a different kind of love than what we're used to dealing with. Agape love is going to love somebody regardless. The closest thing we come up with is moms with their kids. My mom gets this brand new baby. And you're looking at this baby and she's just glowing. She's proud of this baby. Wrinkled up little thing. And you're sitting there thinking, man, you're going to have to get a pork chop tied around that kid's neck. And so the dogs will play with him. But she loves that baby. No matter what, she loves that baby. I don't care how many times that baby messes his diaper, she loves that baby. I don't care how many times that baby falls down learning how to walk, she loves that baby. And she loves that baby all the way to the end. That's her baby. That's the God kind of love. That's the closest thing a human can come up with the God kind of love. Amen? That's as close as we can get. But believe the love that God has for you. So let's find another thing. Let's go backwards just a little bit farther. Let's go up to verse 23. In John chapter 16. Verse 23. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So that's Jesus telling us how to pray. And he was getting his disciples, he was getting his apostles ready. He knew he was going to leave. These guys, they didn't have this revelation that he was going to leave yet. They were thinking he was going to stay here and restore the kingdom. But he was preparing them for when he left. So what can we find on this side of the cross to compare with that? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. If you really, really want to have something to study and look at and get a strong revelation of, it's these two verses I'm going to read to you. It's in verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's your bird's nest on the ground. That's your key to answered prayer. Number one, understanding that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. That's where you get your confidence. Jesus paid the price for you. There's no condemnation to you now. You're in right standing with God, so you can have boldness. You can have boldness to enter into his throne room and receive grace and mercy in a time of need. Just read where it said, as he is now, so are we in this world. How do you suppose Jesus gets along with our Father? Pretty good. As he is, so are we in this world. How much do you suppose our Father loves Jesus? I would say a lot. As he is, So are we now in this world. How much confidence do you suppose God has in Jesus? A lot. As he is, so are we now in this world. He has a lot of confidence in you. We may not have a lot of confidence in ourselves sometimes, but the Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we don't really have to be strong in ourselves, but we can be strong in Christ. You know, the butterflies can be big as buzzards, but as long as we call on the name of Jesus, he can get things done. He told us to use his name, ask in his name, and whatsoever you ask in his name, that's what he would do. Take the pressure off of yourself and put it on him. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. We've all been to those verses a lot of times. But the number one thing that I want you to understand is that you believe you receive what you believe. You know, a lot of people run around and they say, you get what you pray for. And that's just not true. It's not. You get what you believe you receive. As far as God is concerned, he has given you everything. He's given you all things freely with Christ Jesus. He's given you the kingdom of God. He's put it all there before you. Now, how are you going to receive it? You're going to receive absolutely everything in life the same way you received salvation. You came to the revelation that God raised Jesus back to life. You believed it in your heart, and then you confessed it with your mouth. It doesn't change for anything else. You've already believed God for the biggest miracle that mankind has ever seen. To take a dead spirit and turn it into a living spirit. He quickened us together with Christ Jesus. Made us alive in Christ. That's the biggest miracle that man has ever witnessed. That's bigger than anything that's recorded in the Bible. Brought you from death unto life. So now you believed him for the biggest thing. Just believe him for some of the things we need here on this earth. You know, if we need healing, how are we going to get that? We're going to believe in our heart that by his stripes you were healed. How are you going to get finances? You're going to believe in your heart that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How are you going to come to believe that? The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not just one. They could have wrote hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. He told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. That's how we get it. We look at something, we meditate on it, we meditate on it, we meditate on it, we say it over and over and over. We're not trying to talk God into something. You're not trying to bend his arm into something. If I say this 100 times, God's going to bless me. No. You're saying it out of your mouth so that your ears can hear it, so that it can get into your heart, so that it can build faith, so that when you finally get that faith built up in your heart, you can speak it forth. Remember, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it said, have the God kind of faith. That's literally, the God kind of faith is a faith that says something. Remember God said, let there be light? And what happened? Light happened. He created everything with the words of his mouth. How are you going to create your reality? You're going to create a reality. Whether you like it or not, you're going to create a reality. Good or bad, it's on you. You're going to create your own reality. You can create a bad one, or you can create a good one, but it's going to be with the words of your mouth. You are a super seed sowing machine and a super seed growing machine. Now you can run around and talk death over your life. You can speak the curse right into existence with the words of your mouth. You can speak failure and defeat and poverty and sickness and whatever else you want to speak. Or you can speak life, healing, health, prosperity, deliverance, protection, whatever it is, you can speak that into existence. But know this, the Bible says that with the fruit of your lips will a man's belly be satisfied. But it's going to be the fruit of your lips. That's why it's important to watch your confession. Unfortunately, we got Christians running around saying, I never say anything mean about anybody. I never cuss. I never swear. And they run around and they curse themselves. They curse their dog. They curse their family. They curse their job. But I didn't cuss. You called your kid an idiot. You called your car a piece of junk. You called your job a dead-end place to be. Who's cursing and who's not? Well, I didn't cuss. Yeah, but you cursed. You see what I'm talking about? The devil gets people focused on these other little things. I'm not saying you need to go around talking like a drunken sailor. But get it in line here. Major on the major things. Run around blessing things. You know, we bless that plant. That plant. That plant tried to kill me getting it in here. You can't believe how heavy that pot is. Filled with dirt. That thing is horrible. Horrible. But my mother-in-law, she gave it to us for the church. So I drug it in here. And that plant grew and grew and grew and it did good. And then all of a sudden, one day it just decided to die. Yeah, that didn't help. For a little while. I mean, that thing was looking bad. And so we decided we better pray for it, bless it. And then I spent a lot of time not looking at that plant on purpose, because when I did, them leaves really, really looked bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just took off. Well, we could have just said, oh, this thing's worthless, it's dead, it's toast, it's done. But it lived. To the glory of God, it's still alive. and I don't have to carry it out of here. It made it. Watch what you say with your mouth. You can bless or you can curse. But whatever seeds you sow, that's what crop is going to grow. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 23 again. Sometimes you can look at the same verse and come out with a whole different outlook. You know, you can give the same verse to an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, and tell them to preach on that verse. You're going to get five completely different angles on it. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. How about that? That'll blow these preachers plumb out of the water that said you shouldn't be praying for yourself. Right there, Jesus said that your joy may be full. Did you know you can pray for things that you want? And that's not being selfish. It's not being greedy. Of course, pray for the things you need, but pray for the things you want. You want a new telescope? Ask God for a new telescope in the name of Jesus. But don't just throw it out there. Be specific. Tell him what kind, how big you want the lens, how far out there you want to see. Tell him what brand, what color. Get specific. I'm serious. Be specific with your prayers. I remember one time this preacher asked me, he said, what are you believing for? I said, a red Dodge Dually pickup and a hot blonde wife. I needed the wife to pop the hood on that red Dodge Dually pickup. I popped the hood and she'd go out there and hold the, or she'd turn the crank on the starter while I messed with the fuel pump. But I had me a Dodge Dually pickup. Took two of us to get it started. I should have been a little more specific on that Dodge pickup. Get a little newer model. Anyway, let's look at John chapter 14, verse 12. You know, I knew that there was something missing. I had this idea that if Peter could do it, I should be able to do it. That if Paul could do it, I should be able to do it. And, you know, I couldn't quite reach out there to the point where I thought that if Jesus could do it, I should be able to do it. But I knew there was something missing. And it had been taught all the time on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you can only operate in two or three. And that's false. Absolutely false. You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can operate in every single one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Right here. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. He said, verily, verily. You know, my cousin put the verilies on there. She counted the verilies, and they were trying to figure out just exactly what that meant. And I said, well, in the oil field, it says, wake up and pay attention. That's what verily, verily means. Wake up and pay attention. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Period. That's the final word. That is the word of Jesus himself. Then I knew in my heart, if Jesus could do it, I could do it. If Jesus could do it, you can do it. Notice, he didn't say to the apostles, he didn't say to the disciples, he said, he that believeth. How are we going to get there? Well, we're going to have to meditate on that word. You know, you find yourself in the word. You get that word in your heart. You get it built up in your heart so much that that's what has to come out. That faith. And I thought it was funny because I was watching TV one time, and they were interviewing a couple different preachers, and Benny Hinn was one of them. And Benny Hinn had been operating in miracles, mighty miracles, having great evangelistic meetings, and people getting baptized, people getting born again by the millions, and operating in miracles. And this other preacher sat next to him. They started talking about finances, and this other preacher seemed to know a lot about finances, and Benny looked at him like, that's amazing. Well, that other preacher was looking at Benny when they were talking about miracles like, that's amazing. And then I got a revelation in my heart, you're going to operate in what you meditate on. Amen? So I try to cover as much country as I can in here. You know, I don't just talk about money. I don't just talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't just talk about getting people born again. I don't just talk about healing. I don't just talk about miracles. I try to cover as much of Jesus as possible. Maybe somebody will grab a hold of something and hang on to it and say, you know, that's the direction I'm going. But it's foolishness to believe that you can only operate in one or two or three gifts of the Holy Spirit when Jesus said you can do the same thing he did. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in walking on water. I think that would be cool. I think that would be really cool. My wife walked on water one time. Did you? She really did. It was about 15 below zero, and we were going somewhere, and she said, stop! Yeah. I said, okay. I want to walk on water. I said, well, get after it. There's a pond right there, and there's an ice store. So she walked out there. I always wanted to walk on water. About a year later, we were going down. There was another pond, and you could see where this deer had been walking on the pond, and all of a sudden, there was just a hole. She said, well, I don't think I'll be doing that no more. I said, okay. But she got to walk on that water. He said, in my name, use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. I want you to see something about that name in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. And we'll stop with this one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you notice that? Now, he gave you authority in three different worlds, three different spheres, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth. He's given you authority with his name, on that every name should bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Now, he's not talking about Sam, Fred, and Ted. But cancer is a name. Cancer is a name, and it must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Doctors, and see, the devil, he comes up with these diseases, and these doctors give these diseases names that are about that long, and they just sound terrible, and they strike fear into people's hearts. You need to go in there with the understanding that every name must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every once in a while, I don't know if any of you ever run into any Satanists, but there's a sure way to get them to shut up. Because they'll be blabbing 100 miles an hour. And people get in there and argue with them. Here's all you need to do. You just say, one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. And the conversation is over. It's over. Okay, we're going to stop there. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the mighty name of Jesus that you've given unto us. Jesus, our high priest, who takes our prayers and makes them perfect. We may have flawed prayers with our flesh attached, but just as the high priest in the Old Testament would take the bird offering and take the feathers off of it and put it on the altar, and it will go up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God our Father, that's the same thing Jesus does to our prayers, so that our prayers will reach our Father as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.